Hey guys, welcome to the number 246 ever episode of It's Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. In today's episode, we are going to be recapping Ted Leonsis' move of firing the Wizards, I guess now former general manager Tommy Shepard, but also saying that they are going to hold on to Wes Unseld Jr. after two straight 35-win seasons under the head coach. And yeah, this is interesting. It's going to be an interesting episode. You're going to hear me say some good things, and you're absolutely going to hear me say some bad things about the Washington Wizards today. Hope you guys are doing the rest of the episode. If you do, subscribe, follow, share, view. Let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
So let's get into this episode, and let's start off with the Tommy Shepard letting go, because that's really what we're mostly going to be talking about. We're going to be touching a little bit on coaches, but let's just look here at Tommy Shepard. And going into this season, I think most Wizards fans kind of thought as Tommy Shepard is not a great general manager, but also not a terrible general manager, in the sense that, right, he took a Wizards team that was doing nothing, turned them into a playoff team, and then actually put a decent roster around. And this is, I didn't think the Wizards were going to come out and make this move anytime soon. I thought Shepard was safe. He was promoted earlier this season or last season. All these seasons blend in because, well, they're both 35-win years where Bradley Beal gets hurt. But, I mean, you know, they're all kind of blending in. But, I mean, you can't blame the team he's built. I mean, look at the team he built. I'm not saying it was great. Duh, they won 35 games. But, like, it really all came down to Beal. Beal was not the number one. Porzingis had a career year. Kuzma had a career year. They let go of Hachimura. Then Kendrick Nunn started to play great basketball. Dato Gafford was playing decently. Denny Avdija had a career year. Monte Morris had the best assist-to-turnover ratio in the NBA. Corey Kispert was great if you saw any Wizards action this year. So, it's not that he built a bad team. And surprisingly, the only time I will ever say this about the Washington Wizards is that I understand this move. Because Shepard staying around these past few years was because he was able to make up for his mistakes. He comes in, signs Davis Bertans to a long-term deal, making $15 million a year. It's fine. They'll trade him later on. You get Russell Westbrook on a big, or you have John Wall's big contract. You're not trading it. What are you going to do? No, all right, trade it for Russell Westbrook. Now you got Russell Westbrook's big contract, and he's not an efficient shooter. What are you going to do? Oh, all right, you'll trade it for some young guys, or some pick, and, you know, a few decent forwards, bigs that you could get in exchange. And then, all right, you sign Spencer Dinwiddie to a really bad contract, probably one of the most overrated probably one of the most overpaid players in the NBA, Dinwiddie. So you sign him to a big contract, you make up for the Davis Bertans contract as well by trading for Kristaps Porzingis, getting another injury-prone guy with a big contract. So you get the pattern here. He signs players to really bad deals, but has really only stayed around because he was able to make up for them. And that is good, and that's also bad, because you don't want your organization signing every player they get to a long-term big deal or trading for a big contract. Like, the Bradley Beal signing was inexcusable. It was inexcusable. Bradley Beal should have been traded during the 2022 season, in the middle of the season, because even though all of us Wizards fans were getting overexcited, they should have known when they were 10-7 that they were not that good once again. So they should have lended Bradley Beal to another team. They didn't. And it's this lack of wanting to blow it up. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure if that is Tommy Shepard. That may just be Ted Leonsis and the culture that he's created here in Washington. He said a few years ago, like, we will never tank. Why? Why will you never tank? I mean, look at the teams right now that are competing for championships. Phoenix, they tanked. They got DeAndre Ayton. They got Devin Booker. They got Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. And those guys are either still on the team or were used to trade for Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. And they were able to get Devin Booker, if I haven't mentioned him yet. They were able to do those things. Say whatever you want to say, they were able to do those things. How about Boston? They're the favorite to get out of the East right now. They tanked. Oh, yeah, they did. They traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. They're two stars that continue to get hurt. Sound familiar, Washington? They traded them, got a ton of draft capital for them, and drafted Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Two All-NBA players. By trading their injured stars. That's it. That's all they did. Danny Ainge is a mastermind. Look at what he did here in Utah. He traded away Donovan Mitchell, got insane value for Rudy Gobert. And, man, I'd rather have Walker Kessler than Rudy Gobert right now. Forget age, just pure play on the court. So he was able to get a guy that's better than him and get four first-round picks and get four more players on top of Walker Kessler, which he was able to use in multiple more deals. And I may add a team that tanked, a team that got rid of their top two players, had a better record than the Washington Wizards. Now, do they have a better roster than the Wizards? Absolutely not. I will never, ever say that, that they have a better roster than the Washington Wizards. The Wizards got hurt. But at the same time, this roster, when healthy, still wasn't good. They still were not that good of a team. So when is the point when you say, all right, we're going to tank? So I don't know if that's Shepard or I don't know if that's Leonsis. Either way, it's not that good. Either way, it's bad. And this reasoning to not tank, it doesn't make sense. And the drafting, how can I get to the drafting? This is, I think, really why Tommy Shepard was let go before the NBA draft. Rui Hachimura. I saw a stat. I saw a stat. I don't have it on top of me right now. But I think it was something like the Wizards have not signed their first round pick since like 2014. And again, that's pre-Shepard as well. But again, Leonsis. Let's just look at Shepard's picks. Comes in, drafts Rui Hachimura. Fine player. Now actually playing really well with the Lakers. The Wizards didn't develop him that well. Is that part of how he refused to fire Scott Brooks and then replaced it with Wetzel Jr.? We'll get into that. Maybe that was just because of the lack of development that he had. Was it because he was just not the right value for that pick? Sure. I mean, is Rui good? Yeah, he put a 29 in the playoff game for the Lakers. But was he a great pick? No. And by the way, that was another reason to not tank. That's why you had to get Rui Hachimura. So then the next year, he drafts Deddy Avdija. Fine, good. Now you're going to have to pay him a big contract, though. You draft Deddy Avdija over Tyrese Haliburton. I repeat, you draft Deddy Avdija over Tyrese Haliburton. So for a team at the time that you got to think, they either knew they were trading for Westbrook or keeping John Wall. So then why do you draft another wing? Or here, I guess here's what I'm saying. They either knew they were keeping John Wall or trading Russell Westbrook. Either way, you're getting an injured player getting out of their prime. Why don't you take the point guard of the future? Or, and not have to rely on an injured guy. Or, you could take the 85th wing on the team. This is no offense to Deddy Avdija. He is a great player. This has nothing to do with how Deddy Avdija has developed. It's that there was a player ahead of him in Tyrese Haliburton that was significantly better. And the Wizards passed up on him. Let's go to 2021. Corey Kispert. Fine pick. Really? With the 15th pick, it's fine. Let's just keep taking a Gonzaga away. And then Johnny Davis, by the way, has been a pathetic disgrace to gargantuan humanity. Last year, coming out of Wisconsin. A gargantuan disgrace to humanity. There's no reason why the 10th overall pick should spend the majority of his season in the G League. There is no excuse for that. And to be honest, they took him over some guys that he probably shouldn't have been taken over. I mean, the fact that they didn't get Dyson Daniels, I was screaming at the TV when Dyson Daniels was picked. Because I didn't know Johnny Davis would be this bad. But I also had a feeling that the Wizards would be able to do something with Johnny Davis. And they really weren't able to in year one. I'm not going to count him out, but between injury problems and lack of defense and lack of offense and lack of basketball, I don't really see a path where Johnny Davis goes from here to here. So that's probably an L on that side. So you have questionable drafting, you have signing big contracts, and yes, maybe Tommy Shepard should have been let go. But how much of that also had to do with coaching? As we move over here to Wes Unseld Jr., how does Ted Leonsis have the nerve to say Wes Unseld Jr. will be our coach this year? What are you doing? Can you, if you're going to make a dumb decision, can you at least wait till after the playoffs so that maybe you won't make the dumb decision? Like, did you ever think of maybe signing Ime Udoka? I know he's in a bad spot right now, and most people hate him because of everything that happened off the court and all that, but he's still a good coach, perfectly in the market, probably going to sign with the Raptors right now. Just didn't seem to come up to mind for the Wizards. How about waiting until the Raptors let go of Nick Nurse, a coach who I'm personally a big fan of, but they should have had to know that it was inevitable at some point that he was going to be let go, as good as he was in those first 2 years. When a team doesn't win for 3 years in a row, three years in a row, it's inevitable for that coach to leave eventually, even if it's not his fault. It's just a change of culture at some point. So that was inevitable. How do you not know that Nick Nurse is going to be available? And why don't you just wait till the playoffs? What if the Suns don't win? I know it's not Monty Williams' fault. He won Coach of the Year a few years ago. Thought the same thing about Nick Nurse. How do you know Monty Williams is not going to be let go, having Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton on his team? How do we know that Mike Malone's not going to go after having MVP caliber player now for 5 years and possibly not even sniffing an NBA Finals appearance? I mean, what do you think about that? Did you ever think about the fact that, you know, coaching-wise, and maybe Doc Rivers moves on, a very consistently good coach, who maybe if he doesn't do much in the playoffs, can get into the playoffs? The Wizards don't need to think about how they could do in the playoffs. They just need to think about how to get to the playoffs, because that is something they've really struggled with recently. So forget doing well in the playoffs. Just get someone that can get you to the playoffs. If Philadelphia doesn't play well this postseason, Doc Rivers can easily move on, and they can move on. To get the point, there are coaches that are going to be available. And keeping Wes Unseld Jr., and here's the thing, and I mentioned this in the last episode too. The blame here is either on Bradley Beal, the worst contract, actually second worst contract besides Ben Simmons, for obvious reasons, triple single. It's either Bradley Beal is the worst contract in the NBA, not living up to expectations, or it's Wes Unseld Jr. And I think it's a combination of both. And keeping Wes Unseld Jr. makes no sense to me. What is he? I know some people may say, what has he done to not be the coach? Two things to add on to that. Number one, what has he done to be the coach? And number two, to answer your question, back-to-back 35-win seasons. I understand you have injuries, but when you start off a season really hot, looking promising, with three very good stars, I may add, and then continue to choke away and win 35 games and finish 12th in your conference, the identical record as last year with a better roster. Do you understand why that's a problem? The coach isn't helping the players. Personally, I don't think his challenges are that good during games. I don't think his timeouts are that good for that matter. So, you know, I don't want to say this because this sounds rude. And I have full respect for Wes Unseld Jr. Look, that guy was a very good assistant coach at Denver, and I was happy when they made the signing. I was a little concerned about it, but overall I was happy because I knew how he did in Denver and how good of a defensive coach he was and developing. But one, I haven't seen that developing with Johnny Davis being his first draft pick this year. Again, that could be because of Davis. That could be because of his developing. And number two, or actually two, three thoughts. Number two, haven't seen a lot of defense. Three, haven't seen a lot of winning for that matter. And in my opinion, are we sure he would have this job if his name wasn't Wes Unseld? And I hate to say that because, again, he is a good coach, but he kind of came out of nowhere. He was never really in discussions, I felt like never really a true candidate for head coach. And just like that, he comes in the market for a team that had his father. So I feel like that's not a coincidence, or there's some kind of correlation. So I think the bottom line is this. Wes Unseld Jr., in my opinion, is not a great head coach in the NBA. As much as I want him to be, duh, I'm a Wizards fan, and because I truly respect him, I just don't think he's that good of a coach in the league. And I think the Wizards got to have a point where they accept that. And the Wizards front office has to have a point where they accept the tank. And to be honest, all of this, signing Wes in reality, signing Tommy in reality, it's all on the culture that Ted Leonsis has created. And I hate to say this, I love Ted Leonsis. He won me a cup. But he got really lucky with a literally you cannot miss pick. The LeBron James of hockey with Alex Ovechkin. It was a you cannot miss this pick. Like, there's no way to not take him number one overall. And it was the same year, actually. Fun fact. So, There was like no way to not get him. So you get lucky with a superstar, really don't build a lot of good playoff players around him, and kind of rely on him to be one of the greatest players of all time and only get one Stanley Cup out of it. Say whatever you want to say. Look at Pittsburgh. They tanked. They got a number one overall pick and a number two overall pick. Drafted two future Hart trophies players and two future Hall of Famers and Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and they won three Stanley Cups. The Caps only got one. So you got to wonder about how Leonsis is running his teams here. And it doesn't even look like the Caps are going to tank now. It looks like they're going to run it back with a team that was about 10 points off of a wild card spot this year. With the Caps and aging superstars. I don't mean to get into hockey, but I feel like it's the culture that he has created that I feel could be a problem. In hindsight, it could be a problem. You have back-to-back 35 win seasons. And, I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, going back to the Shepherd move, right? Going back to the Tommy Shepherd move. And I think right now everyone's trying to think about this. There are either two things. Was the move the smart move? Or I think even the more important question that not a lot of people are asking, for that matter, how much does it matter? Was it good to move on from him? Sure. I mean, listen to Andrew Fenichel's video on YouTube. Big fan of him. He's on my podcast. He's been on here. He's been on Cold Sports Network. Big fan of the guy. He was really happy about the Tommy Shepherd move. And he's like, the Wizards have hope. But I guess my question to him, and if he's listening to this, how do they have hope at this point? I mean, what's the hope? They've done the exact same thing now with multiple general managers. They haven't had great drafting. And when they bring in the new general manager, they're going to sign Porzingis, most likely Porzingis, if he opts out of his player option, which I won't say most likely, possibly Porzingis and most definitely Kuzma are going to be signed to long-term deals this year, basically making the top three of the Wizards the most expensive top three when they play 25 games a year in a season and go 12-13 in the 25 games. I mean, dead serious. I mean, that's really how these Wizards seasons go. So in hindsight, again, I think it's the two questions that are kind of made here for the general manager and then for the coach. Is his name Wes? Is he here because his name is Wes Unseld? I don't know. I personally would have moved on, or at least wait to move on. At least if you don't see a coach that's fired, like we just mentioned, that could be, or if they're not a big fan of Nurse or Udoka, and you're just like, all right, there's not a lot of good guys on the market. We'll keep him. But the fact that they didn't even test the market to get someone to replace Wes Unseld Jr. after back-to-back 35-win seasons is inexcusable. And to blame the general manager for that is stupid. Did Tommy Shepherd have his mistakes? Yes, he had way more than Wes Unseld Jr. He also had way more successes than Wes Unseld Jr. So, again, I'll leave you all with the stat that I said last episode. There are two teams in the NBA currently that are in the playoffs that have three players averaging 19.5 or more points a game. The Wizards are the third team in that list. They're the 12th seed. The other two teams, Knicks, aren't really competing for a championship. They're competing for, you know, a deep playoff run. Sixers are competing for a championship with the most likely MVP in the NBA. I'll just leave y'all with that. And they built a talented team, but they can't develop rookies, and I'm not sure if they can coach. And I think this all comes back to the umbrella topic that we learned in kindergarten. The umbrella, with the stems being the reasons. It all comes back to the umbrella topic of Ted Leonsis. That's what it comes down to. I hate to say it again. Leonsis, I'm always going to have respect for Leonsis after he got me a Stanley Cup. Always going to have respect for him. But there's got to be a point where I gotta get rid of that taking quote and move on from some of these guys. And to be honest, again, I really don't think that Tommy Shepherd move is going to make a difference. They're going to bring in a guy who's going to come into that exact same culture and probably make the exact same mistakes. Because this isn't even a Leonsis thing. This could go back to literally ever since Wes Unseld Jr.'s dad left the team. This goes back to 1980. 1979 was the last time the Wizards made a conference finals appearance. I hate to say this. This is my favorite team, and this is why I have a podcast about them, but some things are really frustrating with this organization. And I feel bad for Tommy. Was he a great general manager in the NBA? No. He also wasn't the worst general manager in the NBA. I can almost assure you that. He didn't make terrible moves. But he absolutely did not. I mean, there's no way you could say he is worse than the Dallas general manager. He easily won that Dallas trade. I mean, Kyrie Irving may leave this offseason, and basically the players that they traded to Dallas for Porzingis were the guys they used to get Irving, so they basically may get nothing for Kristaps Porzingis in hindsight. So you can't say he's worse than the Dallas general manager, and I could probably think of other general managers that are worse in the league as well, and I'm just blanking off the top of my head. So he's not the worst general manager in the world, but I really don't think it matters. The culture that Leonsis and, frankly, the Wizards since 1980 have created has been a mediocre level between 32 wins and 45 wins. That's mediocre. They've been there for a while now, and it's gotten to a very frustrating level. So, look, I'll give Wes Unseld Jr. one more year. I expect it to probably go the same, and that depends on the Wizards offseason, which we'll make an episode about soon. And the Tommy Shepard thing, again, I really don't think it's going to matter who they bring in. Even though I don't have a lot of candidates off the top of my head, but I am going to be very interested on kind of learning about who the Wizards are searching for in this whole general manager process. All right, this is what was a long episode. I hope you guys did enjoy. Hope I brought up a lot of points that I think made sense to you guys, because I mentioned a lot, but I think that overall, again, the umbrella topic is Ted Leonsis, because a lot of this has not gone well over these past few years. So I hope you guys did enjoy the number 246 ever episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I hope you guys did enjoy. I have interviews coming up. I had a lot of interviews. Interviewed Jason Thompson over on the Student Sports Network for play-by-play camps. Have multiple interviews recently on the Cool Sports Network. Have more interviews coming on the Cool Sports Network. Got a lot. I'm going to try to get some interviews here for Wiz Talk with Chase. Enjoy the NBA playoffs are going on. I'm personally having a lot of fun. Enjoy the NFL draft. I'll be in another show on the Student Sports Network next week to preview the NFL draft, so you will not want to miss out on that. Hope you guys did enjoy this episode. If you did, subscribe, follow, share, and view. And of course, as always, I'll see you guys next time. Peace.